Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and welcomed you?' And the king will answer, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Did you have a wonderful Thanksgiving? Yes, I hope so. But I have to admit something to you this morning. It totally snuck up on me this year. I'm wondering if I'm the only person who gets surprised sometime. The school year starts, all kinds of fall programming begins. I guess we get preoccupied with all that, and then bam, holy cow, the holidays are here. Might as well lump them all together, am I right? The smells of Thanksgiving turkey and Advent candles and Christmas trees all commingled together. But listen, how quickly it arrives is only part of the surprise. And it's the smaller part, I think. The bigger part is much more poignant. At this time of the year, many of us will see relatives or friends that we've not seen for a whole year, or maybe even many years. And we'll be surprised at how big the kids have grown, how gray mom's hair has become. Those little kids are suddenly parents themselves. Our joy will be tinged by the recognition that one chair at the table will be empty for the first time or the tenth time. The family expands with marriages and births and contracts again as others pass or move away. The young become old, and the elders become memories. This past week, I was pondering such things when suddenly, out of the blue, I remembered a phone call that came maybe 35 years ago. For over 3 decades, I hadn't thought about this, but there it was in my head. Do you want anything from your great-grandmother's estate? My mom was on the phone. She was calling to let me know that anyone who wanted anything still remaining from my great-grandmother's house was going to be gathering on the first Saturday of November to look things over. At a certain time, each person would draw a number, and then starting with one, each in turn could choose an item to keep as a memory of our dear old Grandma Berg. Thanks for the offer, Mom, but I think I'm going to pass, I told her. I was just a few months into my first call, my first church, super busy. Couldn't or didn't want to take time for the long drive to Grandma Berg's little town. I'd just been there a couple months earlier for the funeral, after all. Thanks, Mom. Tell everyone hi for me. You'll have to let me know how it all goes, what the hot item is that everybody fights over. My great-grandmother, Mary Berg was her name, was a pretty remarkable person in her own unremarkable way. Mary was my dad's mother's mother. She was born in 1884. That alone used to blow my mind. The Civil War had only ended 19 years earlier. But what was even more amazing was how ridiculously healthy Mary Berg was. My great-grandmother lived in the same little house in the same little town for nearly 80 years. The house that she moved into when she married John Paul Berg in 1905. Her husband died after 34 years of marriage in 1939, but my great-grandmother stayed there in that house, living alone until she was 98. Only then did she move to a senior center at the insistence of her family. When she died at the age of 101, no one could remember a single time that she had been sick. Listen, even though she was a widow for 47 years, Grandma Berg was never lonely. Growing up herself from a small family, just one sister to play with out on the farm they grew up on, she wanted a bigger family, and she certainly got one. Before her husband died, he and she had 6 children together. Those children, in turn, gave Mary 30 grandchildren, who in turn gave her 90 great-grandchildren. I'm one of those. And by the time she died in 1986, she also had 28 great-great-grandchildren. Her descendants today would be in the hundreds. If you ask me today what I remember of visiting my great-grandmother, it would be this. It was always incredibly crowded. On special occasions like Thanksgiving, that little two-room, two-story house of hers was packed wall to wall with so many family members. with my great-grandmother at the center of it all, as happy as anyone on this earth could be. So that's maybe part of the reason I didn't go the day that the family converged on her little house to pick over what remained of what she had when she moved to senior housing. But you know, I did call my mom again a couple weeks after the big event happened, just curious how it all went. I've learned over the years that estate settling can be ugly. I can imagine that some of you know that as well. Imagine my surprise to learn that it had all gone very smoothly. Her old wood furniture went piece by piece to newer homes with much younger faces. Knickknacks and salt and pepper shakers will now sit for decades, gathering dust on different shelves in distant towns. Come on, Mom, surely there must have been something that people wanted to fight over, or at least arm wrestle to get. Well, there was one thing that several people really wanted, Mom said, but I was really surprised. You'll never guess what it was. Not her old car, that 68 Chevy with almost 0 miles on it. Not that antique hutch that stood in her dining room all those decades. Certainly not her jewelry. As a survivor of the Great Depression, Grandma Berg never really bothered much with sparkly things. No, what so many people wanted to keep as a reminder of my great-grandmother's life was her old ceramic serving platter. Even today, I can remember what it looked like. If it wasn't a wedding gift from 1905, it certainly could have been. It was heavy and white clay with clay handles that looked like braided rope. Can you imagine this? The glaze might have been bright and shiny at one point, but 70 or 80 years of use for turkeys at Thanksgiving and ham at Easter and maybe either one at Christmas had left that platter scratched and marred and a little bit dingy. There were more than a few chips around the edges where someone, being careless while washing it in the sink, bumped it or putting it away in the back of the cabinet. That was the prized possession, Mom? Really? It wasn't even the good platter that people were after. Oh, Grandma Berg had one of those too. One of her children or her grandchildren at some point thought they would make the holidays better by buying Grandma Berg a really nice, pure white porcelain platter with bright, shiny gold decorations around the edge from England or Germany. It was fancy, friends. It was elegant. And every Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, that good platter stayed right there in its spot at the top of the shelf in that hutch. Oh, that's too fancy to be used, Grandma Berg told my mom once. Maybe someday, when the king and queen come for dinner, maybe we'll use it then. No, it was the old platter that was precious in the eyes of Grandma Berg's descendants. To touch its chipped edge was to feel the hands of generations sharing a meal, of family gathered in love. 1,000 times at hundreds of events, a carving knife and fork had etched and worn its surface. Elegant? No. Fancy? By no means. But precious? Without a doubt. Amazing, isn't it? How sometimes the heart can see what the eyes will look right past? If burglars had broken into my great-grandmother's house during those last 3 years when she was living at a senior care facility, that platter would have been among the last things they would have taken. Their eyes would find no more value in that platter than an old shoe or a pile of newspapers. But hearts, friends, hearts can recognize the value of something being used up for the purpose it was created for. Hearts can see the preciousness that comes from a lifetime of faithful service. On a lonely hill outside Jerusalem, a crowd had gathered to witness an execution. Three men would be put to death that day. But the one nailed to the center cross, he was the one getting all the attention. And by all the attention, I mean the mocking, the harassment, the abuse, the bad-mouthing, the haranguing. He was Jesus of Nazareth, and he looked to be just about as far from being a king as anyone had ever looked. See him hanging there, naked, filthy, bleeding. Oh, a crown on his head, sure, a crown of thorns. The sign over his head made the mockery complete. This is the King of the Jews. You know the Good Friday story. It's more than a little jarring to hear it in what is otherwise a joyful and cheery season. We're thinking about family gatherings and celebrations, relishing the past week's Thanksgiving delights. And today, Christ the King glory. But our gospel reading from Matthew is here to remind us about just what kind of king this Jesus is. How wildly different Jesus the King is versus the king that people thought they needed. You see, Jesus didn't come into this world to sit on a throne and be waited on, some kind of porcelain and gold king set up high for all to admire and honor. No, not at all. Our Jesus came into this world to give his life in humble service, to attend to the needs of others, to empty himself so that others could be filled. Our Jesus comes to inspire in every one of us who would follow him the same kind of simple love, to live in love for each other. Do as I command, Jesus says. Do as I do. Live in tenderness and humility and kindness. Of course, the people didn't get it, did they? Remember how they mocked him? Is he not the Messiah, the anointed one, the king? Let him save himself. Let him come down off the cross and walk through the midst of the crowd as he's done before. Let him perform one of his famous miracles and come down and save himself. But Jesus, ever the servant, chose to stay on the cross instead and save every last one of us. Every last one of us, including his enemies, including those who mocked him that day, including, yes, including you and me, because he loves us, because he loves you that much. So today, on Christ the King Sunday, you and I are invited to consider what it means to follow a Savior, a King whose preciousness is defined not by glitz and glory and power, but instead by humility and compassion and sacrifice. It was in his being broken that his true preciousness was revealed. And now, having saved us through his sacrifice, he invites us to allow ourselves to be servants. Yes, even be broken if need be, in loving service to others. It's a daunting invitation, friends, a scary thing, but Jesus trusts that Christian hearts can recognize the value of something being used up for the purpose it was created for. Remember, hearts can see preciousness that comes from the lifetime of faithful service. I know that we all have so much to be grateful for in this season of Thanksgiving and all the other wonderful holidays. We have so much to be grateful for every single day. For God's love, for Jesus our King and Savior, for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven, we can only say, thank you, God. For the joy of gathering as God's people here, for the miracle of the sacraments, for the opportunity to praise and serve, yes, and the opportunity to give, we say thank you. And for Jesus' invitation to be emptied out, even broken, in the service of others, we can only say thank you. Precious, humble, gentle Jesus, servant and King, thank you. It is our privilege to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.